What you see is an open public use strip, which has become probably the most popular multi-use trail, certainly in California. But for the Coastal Commission, this trail would not have been here because it's precious, precious geography.
You're listening to Stories of the Coast, a virtual tour of the California Coastal Trail. I'm your host, Robin Pressman.
I'm Una Glass, Executive Director of Coastwalk California. Coastwalk offers this podcast series to share the beauty, history, and science of the California coast.
In this episode, we travel to the shores of the Monterey Bay to hear the story of a spectacular section of the California Coastal Trail. This public hike and bike path runs for 16 miles along the shoreline from Asilomar State Park in Pacific Grove through the heart of historic Cannery Row and Del Monte Beach, linking the cities of Monterey, Seaside, and Marina, through Fort Ord Dune State Park all the way to Castroville. Although this is one of the most popular destinations on the Central Coast, few visitors know how close it came to being developed into a strip of high-rise hotels and private condominiums along the water's edge in 1978. But thanks to a brand new state agency that had just been created by California voters, that development never materialized. Let's meet the man who wrote the law that saved the coast.
My name is Peter Douglas. I'm the former executive director of the California Coastal Commission. I've been involved in coastal protection for 41 years. We are now standing at the Fisherman's Wharf in Monterey on the multi-use bike path that is probably one of the most highly used public recreational corridors in the state. And nobody knows the history. Nobody knows the backstory of how much it took and how close we actually came to losing it. And if it hadn't been for this citizen activist and the Coastal Commission, the public would have been denied the opportunity to utilize this fantastic recreational corridor. So people would not have been able to walk around the bay on this path as they do today, because it was a corridor owned by Southern Pacific, who in the 70s wanted to abandon the right-of-way and sell the land for development. And that, I think, would have been unconscionable.
The railroad had been used for nearly 100 years to haul timber to San Francisco after the earthquake, to ship sardines from Cannery Row during the war, and sand from the Asilomar Dunes for making glass. But by 1978, the trains ran only a few times a month, and Southern Pacific had other, more profitable plans for the land under the tracks. Les Sternad was the first Coastal Commission staffer to learn what those plans were.
I got a phone call from one of my friends in the city of Monterey from Public Works that Southern Pacific Railroad personnel were removing rails. That the old historic railroad station property here in the Monterey Peninsula, and indeed what we found was that Southern Pacific crews with their big machines were in the process of removing the spur lines off the major line. And we talked to some of the workers and asked them what they were doing, and they said, well, we're removing the rails, we're abandoning this railroad line. I asked where their notice was posted, and they said inside the railroad station. Well, of course, at this time, there was no railroad transit going on except for freight trains and sand trains. So who's going to go inside of a railroad station? And I said, and how was I supposed to be informed? Well, who are you? And I said, well, I'm in charge of the permit division for the Coastal Commission. And I said, they ignored the Coastal Act. They ignored our agency. Well, we're removing rails.
So Sternad went back to his office, pulled out his typewriter, and got to work.
It has to be the most powerful letter I ever wrote in my life, because I wrote a cease and desist letter, and it was about a paragraph long. I said, "You are hereby ordered to stop removing rails," and sent it off to Southern Pacific headquarters in San Francisco. It was about 2 days later, I get a phone call. "Les, what in the hell did you do?"
That phone call had come from Sternad's boss, Peter Douglas, who had just talked to a very unhappy railroad representative. Later in the week, Douglas and Sternad met with Southern Pacific executives face to face.
But we get to Southern Pacific and we're escorted into a conference room. And this is the kind of conference room that they probably had to cut down a redwood tree to make the table. One side of the table was lined with attorneys. And at the head of the table was this gentleman with his hands folded. And he said, "We have received your letter." He said, "Well, we found it quite interesting that Southern Pacific is being asked to cease and desist removal of rails. We're abandoning that rail line." And the gentleman said, "I want to make something perfectly clear." He said, "Southern Pacific Railroad is not in the transportation business. We are in the real estate business." And I looked at Peter, he looked at me, and Peter spoke and said, "Well, there's provisions of federal and state law that we feel you haven't complied with." And again, they looked at us like we were bubbleheads, you know. "What do you mean? That's our land. We're going to do what we want with it, and then we want to develop it." I said, "That still doesn't answer the question of failure to notify the Coastal Commission. And we have authority over you." You could see his jugular veins start expanding on his neck. All of a sudden, I think he realized that this wasn't going to be a smooth sail. And Mr. Expanding Jugular said, "Well, I see no purpose in continuing this meeting." From there, it's history.
With so many attorneys involved, there was no shortage of opinion regarding what to do next. The Coastal Commission's lawyers and the railroad's legal team exchanged lots of letters over the following months. The commission got the Attorney General involved. Southern Pacific got the Interstate Commerce Commission to back them up. Eventually, it all wound up in court. It was the first legal test of the Coastal Commission's new federal authority. Peter Douglas got the outcome he wanted.
So, as a result of the Coastal Commission stepping into this, Southern Pacific filed suit and wanted to prevent the Coastal Commission from asserting its jurisdiction and being involved, saying that this whole field of railroad abandonment was preempted by the federal government. Well, they lost. The Southern Pacific folks, in thinking about their appeal to the Ninth Circuit, saw the handwriting on the wall and decided to cut their losses.
Working with the cities and local advocacy groups, the Coastal Commission negotiated a settlement with the railroad. Southern Pacific agreed to drop their appeal and sell the land to a coalition of bayfront cities for much less than the appraised value. The cities, in turn, agreed to pave over the tracks, but leave them in place for possible future rail use.
The local governments, it turns out, have been trying to acquire this right-of-way for several years, but Southern Pacific just wanted to sell it for development. But they set the price so high that it made it prohibitive. And so, as a result, local governments were not in a position to pay what Southern Pacific wanted for the right-of-way. And as a result, the corridor was made into a recreational corridor for pedestrians, for bicyclists, for anyone who wants to be outside and have this wonderful corridor along the seaside. around Monterey Bay. So it became a great success story, very popular, and I'm really grateful for the Coastal Commission that it was there and stepped in and made a difference.
This program was produced by KRCB Public Radio in Santa Rosa, Coastwalk, California, and California State University Chico master's student Sarah Christie. Our theme music, La Silla, was written and performed by Mickey Hart. For more information, please visit coastwalk.org. I'm Robin Pressman for Coastwalk, saving the coast one step at a time.